Good evening.
Good evening.
As you know, our classwork is recorded. And because of this, within, let us say, 4 weeks from tonight, this class that we are having will be heard throughout England, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the United States, Canada, and be on its way to South America too. So in speaking tonight, I am speaking not only to you, who are here in this room, but to the Infinite Way students throughout the globe. The reason I mention this specifically is this. I have said to you that our experience must be a progressive one. Each trip, each class, each month of activity, certainly each year of activity, should see us further along on the spiritual path, and that means not in knowledge only, but in demonstration. In the world situation as we have it today, you recognize the fact that there are problems facing the world for which there are no human solutions. Just in the same way that you recognize the fact in individual experience that there are some diseases that are incurable according to all known means. What does an individual do today who finds themselves under the claim of an incurable disease? A century ago, this would have meant resigning oneself to death. This would have meant making the best of a bad bargain, or losing one's courage and all that goes with that. But in this past century, it has become more and more accepted that there is a spiritual means of healing, that there is a spiritual way out of our dilemma. In this century, there have been thousands upon thousands of healings of incurable diseases, medically incurable. There's no such thing as an incurable disease because there is nothing beyond the power of God, beyond the power of truth. Therefore, even those that are termed incurable means only incurable so far as human knowledge goes at this moment. Even human knowledge may awaken to material cures for most of these. I have had the pleasure this trip of witnessing a healing of one pronounced incurably ill just a few weeks ago and already ready to return to business, proving that beyond all doubt there is something. There is a spiritual power, there is a grace, which overcomes human karma, overcomes the ignorance of our present day. Of course, the main thing now, as 2,000 years ago, you have to find those who are spiritually endowed in order to benefit by spiritual law. That is why all who read metaphysical or spiritual books cannot do healing work. That is also why, of all those who are spiritual or metaphysical healers, their work is not the same. Some do far better healing works than others. The whole question is, to what extent is an individual spiritually endowed? To what extent he or she is bringing forth healings? Some will do lesser work, some will do greater works. When the disciples failed to heal and brought their patient to the master and he healed them, he indicated that there is some lack of understanding on their part, some lack of faith, actually some degree of spiritual awareness. The question has to be asked, if the world now has an incurable disease, and most assuredly it would seem to have several of them, if the world has several situations that cannot be humanly solved, either the world must collapse, a generation must be lost, a civilization must be wiped out, or it can be saved by spiritual power. But if it is to be saved by spiritual power, it comes back to that question again. To what extent are we spiritually endowed to go about such a demonstration of harmony, of peace, of grace? Are we sufficiently imbued with the divine spirit? The Master says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and I am ordained to heal the sick." Can we also say that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, and that we are ordained to bring peace on earth spiritually? If we cannot find a human solution, one that will satisfy all nations, all parties, all countries, is there a spiritual solution? Really, it is far too late to ask, is there a spiritual solution? We know there is. We know that if the power of the Spirit will perform the works that have been performed in this past century, then it is equal to any demand that may be made upon it. It is equal, but are we? The Spirit of the Lord God through the Master healed the sick. The Spirit of the Lord God through many practitioners has been and is healing the sick. Is anyone sufficiently endowed now to join in at least the attempt to bring peace on earth through spiritual means? This is far more important than, can I be healed spiritually? Or can you be healed spiritually? It is so important we can even forget whether or not you or I can be healed. Let us forget, as those 15 have done who have been healed at Lourdes, let us forget to pray for ourselves and see if we cannot accept the world as a patient far more deserving of our prayers than we ourselves for our own benefit. Here is what we face. We use the term spiritual power. We acknowledge that practically all of us in this room have experienced spiritual healing of some nature, of some degree. Most of us, I am sure, if not all of us, have known the power of spirit in our affairs, either physically, mentally, morally, financially, or in human relations. And many of us in all of these departments of life. Therefore, we know definitely that there is a spiritual power, that it does function, that it has performed miracles and is. And so, we must ask ourselves, what is this spiritual power? What is the nature of spiritual power? What is it that we so glibly voice and so little understand? What is the nature of spiritual power? How would you recognize it? It is on this very point that our individual demonstration will be settled. It is on this very point that will be determined to what extent we are enabled to be one of those 10 righteous men who can save a city. 10 righteous men, not merely 10 good men. Not just 10 men who have read books, but 10 righteous men. That is, men of spiritual experience, men of spiritual endowment. Wait, the Master says. Wait in this city until you receive power from on high. Spiritual power he is talking about, until you are spiritually endowed. Before we can hope to make further progress along this line, we must be willing to ask ourselves, what is the nature of spiritual power, and then seek and find an answer to that question. There is no one here in this room who knows what spiritual power is. There are many here who are spiritually endowed. There are many here who can bring forth healing works through the Spirit. There are many here who are living spiritually. There is no one here who knows what spiritual power is. The chances are, in that sense, that we may never be able to answer that question. But we can answer this one: what is the nature of spiritual power? If we cannot say what spiritual power is, at least what is its nature? In the same way that there is no one here who knows God. There is no one here who can tell us what God is. There are many here who have experienced God. There are many here who commune with God, who tabernacle with God, who live and move and have their being in God, but they could not describe God. No one since time began has ever been able to undertake the work of describing God, even though so many have experienced God. In this same way, then, many have experienced spiritual power. Many have been instruments through which spiritual power has blessed and benefited the world. As we do not know God, we can know the nature of God. In other words, we know that the nature of God is love. How do we know that? Well, because of certain laws. You can always know the love of God because of the law of God. In other words, the very fact that roses will always come from rose bushes, and you need have no fear on planting rose bushes that bananas will grow or pineapple. Rest assured without praying. Do not stay up at night and do mental work. Rest assured roses will grow on rose bushes, and apples on apple trees, and peaches on peach trees. Rest assured of this too when you retire at night. Do not bother to sit up and pray that daylight follows night. It will. It will, always it will. Do not bother during the day to be concerned as to whether night will come. It will. There is a law governing these things. That law is love. It is love because we can depend on it. It is love because it is caring that which it is caring that these things follow each other in due order. We do not pray about orchids growing in the snow. They will not. We need not be concerned about orchids growing in the tropics. They will. There is a law, and that law governs lovingly throughout. We still do not know God, but at least we do know that the nature of God is love, and we do know that the nature of God is law. We know something else. We know that the law and the love of God have also the nature of life. We know that life is the nature of God. We could go on for hours and show forth the nature of God because of the works of God. So it is that we know and can know the nature of spiritual power, and it is this nature of spiritual power that we must learn more about in order to bring forth the fruitage of spiritual power. May I point out to you that it is only by knowing the nature of God that we can bring forth spiritual healing? You know that if we were under the same delusion that the outside world is, that God is the source of both good and of evil, that we could not bring forth spiritual healing. It is only because we know the nature of God as the one power, the source only of the good, that we can bring forth spiritual healing. In the same way, if we did not know that God is the life of individual being, we could not bring forth spiritual healing works. It is only because we know that individuals do not have lives of their own. It is only because we know that in this room there is only one life, the life of God, regardless of how many times it may seem to be multiplied as persons. There is only one life coursing in our veins, yours and mine. It is not a Christian life. It is not a Jewish life. It is not a male life. It is not a female life. It is the one spiritual, incorporeal life. Without knowing this to be the nature of God, we could do no spiritual healing works. So, by knowing the nature of God, we are enabled to relax. We are enabled to stop the processes of ordinary human life, and instead of fighting evil, instead of battling disease, we heal it by resting. Resting, refraining from using effort, mental or physical. Resting in our understanding of the nature of God as the life of individual being. Since God is your life, your life is not diseased. And regardless of the human, the universal belief about it, the truth is that your life is immortal, eternal, indestructible. Just to know this truth enables one to refrain from making efforts to heal. And it is in that refraining from effort, it is in that ability to rest in the assurance, what did hinder you? Pick up your bed and walk. In that assurance that disease has no power, that spiritual healing works can be accomplished. Greater works than these will be done once you begin to perceive the nature of spiritual power, once you begin to perceive the nature of this power that we call spiritual power, the power that heals, the power that does more than heal. The power that now must bring forth harmony in this world of strife, in this world of struggle, in this almost death battle of the present civilization. Be assured, the world's struggle will not be overcome by might or by power. There will be no wars from which victors will emerge. There will be no wars from now on that will settle any arguments of an international nature. The day of war on earth is ended, so far as settling anything is concerned. If war comes to earth today, all that it will settle will be this present civilization and the people that make up the civilization. But war will not set up a victor and a loser. War will not set up a solution to the problems that are facing the world and about which you read in your papers. Then must there not be a remnant of those ready and willing to undertake to bring peace on earth spiritually? To utilize whatever understanding they may have of the nature of God and of the nature of spiritual power to bring forth peace on earth? One beautiful thing about this, to those who undertake it, whatever measure of success you attain will at the same time solve your personal problems. In that, we have already witnessed the experience of many practitioners and teachers who, in their busyness and no time to work on their own problems and their family problems, since they have given themselves and dedicated themselves to their ministry, and their entire time and attention is taken up with it, and in solving the problems of others, they find their own are solved. Eventually, none of an important nature, of a serious nature, arises again. So will we find that should we neglect our own immediate problems, in undertaking this greater work, we will find that in our greater success, our individual success will likewise be attained. Another beautiful feature of this work is that we do not have to go out and announce ourselves. We do not have to tell the world that we are embarking on this mission. In fact, it would serve no purpose. The Master is very clear on the fact that if we pray, we ought to pray in secret and let the results be shouted from the housetops. There is only one disadvantage to that, and you will not mind it. That is, when peace comes, you will not get the credit for it. But the only credit you will want is the credit of living in a world of peace. That will be satisfaction enough. So our immediate task from this night forth is to devote ourselves to the question and answer, what is the nature of spiritual power? What is the nature of that upon which we are to lean? Or what is the nature of that spiritual power that will enable us to rest and to know that harmony will come, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Here we come to one of the very first principles or nature of spiritual power. It has nothing to do with might. It has nothing to do with power. It has nothing to do with physical force. It has nothing to do with mental force. And it has nothing to do with any blind faith in some power to do something to something. Try to think of that. Try to think of the meaning of that. You are to be an instrument for spiritual power, yet you are to use no physical might, no mental force, no physical force or mental might. What are you to do? The answer to that will give you a clue to the nature of spiritual power. In the same way, as you ponder in your meditations this nature of spiritual power, it will be clear to you that there can be nothing of a human nature about it. This sets up a puzzling situation. Because if there is nothing of a human nature, what part do I play in it? What am I to do? What am I to think? What am I to know? If there is nothing human whatsoever in the nature of spiritual power, as you receive an answer to that, you will begin to understand the nature of spiritual power. The more you understand the nature of spiritual power, the greater endowment of spiritual power is yours. We do not attain spiritual power by our efforts. We do not attain spiritual power by deserving it, by being worthy of it, by earning it. How then do we attain spiritual power? The answer to this increases our endowment of spiritual power. You see, spirit is beyond human comprehension. Never forget that. Spirit is beyond human comprehension. Spirit cannot be grasped with the mind. That is why spiritual power can never be taught. It must be experienced. Again, remember, spiritual power cannot be taught. There are no words with which to describe or explain spiritual power. But by the time that we are through with our work, our study, our meditations, we will find that we are demonstrating spiritual power. You can demonstrate spiritual power. You can be an instrument through which spiritual power uplifts, blesses, heals, saves, redeems, reforms. But there is no way in which you can teach the nature of that which is performing this work through you. Therefore, this is not to be a struggle of the mind. This is not to be a great intellectual undertaking. Ah, no. This is to be the demonstration of the Spirit with us. Yes. We can go back to scriptural language and use the word Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the demonstration of God with us. But it is not an explanation of it. Moses could demonstrate Emmanuel for the Hebrew people, and so could many of the Hebrew prophets in some measure. The Master could demonstrate omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and he could so imbue his disciples with this spirit that they in turn could be instruments of its demonstration, but without any of them ever having been able to teach it. That is why we find nothing in Scripture, nothing in the Bible about how to learn spiritual power. There is nothing in the Scripture of any part of the world that will explain spiritual power to you. But in all Scripture, it explains the nature of spiritual power and shows forth its demonstration. I know that it is difficult for you to grasp this point, that while we sit here, all of us together, acknowledging that we cannot teach spiritual power, that before the evening is over, some of us at least, and the possibility of all of us, demonstrating, feeling spiritual power, experiencing spiritual power. So it is that you must understand that you are not to be concerned with the intellectual aspect of what we are undertaking. You are not to concern yourself with whether you can give a satisfactory explanation of spiritual power, for you will not. What you will do is experience it, demonstrate it, show it forth, and bless with it. That is our function. That is our responsibility. The nature of spiritual power being beyond human comprehension, we are not going to try to understand it. We are not going to try to receive it. Instead of using the human mind in an intellectual exercise, we are going to rest the mind. We are going to live and move and have our being in spirit, in quietness, in confidence, because it is only in quietness and in confidence that the Spirit can be upon us. We are not going to strive mentally. We are going to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Does not this lift the responsibility from your shoulder? Be still. The battle is not yours. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I, in the midst of you, am God. Rest in quietness, in confidence. The Spirit of God manifests itself, announces itself. He performeth that which is appointed for me to do. I need not battle. He that is within me is greater than he that is in the world. I of my own self can do nothing. The Father within me, he doeth the works. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. One thing we have learned about the nature of God is that it is peaceful, quiet, gentle, that it requires no mental effort, no great wisdom. A little child can demonstrate spiritual power. The more childlike we are, the greater the spiritual endowment will be that makes itself evident in our lives. If spiritual power were of the nature of knowledge, all of our college professors would have it, and we would be without it. But knowledge is not spiritual power. Be still. Even the search for God is only in effect when we are no longer making the search. The search for the Holy Grail has always failed until the search was over. And in every case when the search was over, the Holy Grail was revealed. So with us, when we are finished with our mental striving, when we are finished with running to holy mountains and holy temples, when we have reached that point of utter exhaustion that is weary of searching in time and space, and we sit ourselves down to the quiet, still, at rest, in the moment that ye think not, in the moment that ye take no thought, the bridegroom cometh, the Christ, the spiritual endowment. In the moment that ye think not, in the moment of complete relaxedness from human effort. You see, we know the nature of spiritual power. It steals into us when we are unaware of it. It overtakes us when we have stopped running away from it, or when we have stopped chasing it. Why? Because of omnipresence. It is, and it always has been, right where I am. It is, and it always has been, right where you are. The Spirit of God is not to be found in struggles, in strivings, but in quietness and in peace. Why did the Master go away for 40 days to be alone? To pray, to be at peace, to be still, to be away from the clamor of the world, just long enough so that inner stillness could develop. If we do not know what spiritual power is, we do know that we feel it when we are still enough. Still enough to know that I in the midst of me is God. Still enough to know that it operates without might, without power. That it operates without any human help. Operates when we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. It operates, it functions, it appears outwardly manifest as the fruitage of life when we are still, when we are receptive. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Does he, when he is not still, does he, when he is taking thought, does he, when he is trying to figure intellectually the whys and the wherefores of God and the workings of God? No. No, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Do not search around in the mountains, in the temples, in the books of this world. Seek me where I am within you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God, the temple which houses God? Therefore you must find God within yourself. When you do, you will find yourself spiritually endowed from on high. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is spiritual presence and spiritual power and spiritual grace. May we not know the nature of spiritual power through the word grace? Do we not know that the grace of God is made manifest, not by our efforts, not by our seeking or striving, but rather when we have abandoned human hopes. Once it came through in a class, those very words, to the students starting the class. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. It is fitting that we remember that. Abandon hope in external means, in external powers. Abandon hope in the known ways of the world. Abandon hope in the wisdom of this world. Abandon hope in the powers of this world. Abandon hope that your armies and navies and air forces are going to bring peace on earth. Abandon hope that the wisdom of man is going to solve these complex problems. But do not abandon hope. Just abandon hope in human means, physical means, mental means, and then strive to understand within, what do I mean by spiritual means? Because with every answer that unfolds to you within, you are endowed to that much greater extent with spiritual power. The subject of cosmic consciousness has a relationship to this very subject of spiritual power, because the revelations that come through this cosmic consciousness are revelations of grace. They are demonstrations of spiritual power, because they come from powers that are not human. The wisdom that is unfolded cosmically does not come because you study books. Much of it comes to people who have never studied any books. There again you have a question and an answer to find. The nature of the spiritual power that brings to some great musical talents, great literary, great artistic talents, to others, spiritual talents. There again you will find it fruitful activity in meditation to concern yourself with that question, the nature of the spiritual power that brings forth fruitage as cosmic consciousness. Stillness is the word, silence is the word. When you read the thunder of silence, you will perceive something of the nature of what I'm talking about tonight, of the message that is coming through, because there, just in occasional sentences, you will glimpse the fact that the wisdom that came through, that formed that book, was not of human origin. It was an activity of spiritual power. No human could have brought through that knowledge, because it does not exist in human awareness. It had to come from behind the scenes. It had to be generated, not by human might, nor human power, certainly not by human knowledge, but by a spiritual presence, a spiritual power we call the grace of God. There is no more wonderful term in the world for spiritual power than the word grace. When you can see grace as something of a divine nature, or the activity of grace as really being a divine action, one that comes to humans but is not generated by humans. In other words, an act of grace is an act of something beyond our human comprehension, yet coming into human experience. You can experience the grace of God. You can retire at night sick and wake up well in the morning without knowing why or how, for no known reason. You may, out of a clear blue sky, find influences coming into your lives to change them, and you will know that it is an act of grace, because no human started it, no human projected it. then you will see, that grace operated as spiritual power made evident in my life. Anytime that something comes to us, which we may describe, as we often do, as coming out of the blue, coming from nowhere, we are usually describing an act of grace functioning through spiritual power. Whenever we behold the operation of the harmonious laws of nature, we are witnessing an act of grace through spiritual power. We cannot explain it, but we know that no human element is involved. There is one of the cues for you to remember. Spiritual power. In spiritual power, or with spiritual power, there is no human element involved. And yet it all takes place in and as the experience of humans. It takes place as certain human experiences, but human experiences of divine origin. As you face the daily problems, your own or the world's, the first step in bringing spiritual power to bear is to realize this, that spiritual power is not a power that destroys evil. It is a power that reveals the non-power of evil. Then you will have the greatest cue. You will have the greatest insight to the nature of spiritual power. Once you understand that it does not operate to kill off your enemies, it does not operate to destroy your enemies, it does not operate to bring you victories, it does not operate to overcome sin, disease, death, lack, or limitation. It operates to reveal to you the spiritual nature of God and man and the universe, and the non-power of carnal mind, that belief in two powers, which seems to threaten us. We believe a man or a group of men threaten us. We believe an ideology threatens us. We need only remember 20 years ago when it was a different man and a different ideology. We need only remember 20 years before that when it was still another one. We can go on back in history to the beginning of time and name the names of the tyrants and their particular ideologies. As each one was overcome, another one rose up. It is never worthwhile to overcome the prevailing one. It is only an interval until the next one appears on the scene. However, in this age when all of us have a deep concern, it is necessary that 10 righteous men, using that 10 figuratively, must know this truth about spiritual power. It is not going to overcome our enemies or destroy them. It is not going to win victories for us. It is going to reveal to us God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And the only reason that it has been delayed for 2,000 years is the same reason it was delayed before the Master. The Hebrews expected a Messiah, but they expected him to be a king who would defeat Rome, and how badly they were fooled. Their Messiah never took up arms. Their Messiah never drew the sword. But the lesson was not learned on earth. And so for 2,000 years we have been praying to a God to do what the Messiah did not do. We have been hoping to find a God to overcome our enemies. Oh yes, we were willing to use knives and pistols as long as they would help. But when they did not help, then we went higher. If you would understand and demonstrate the nature of spiritual power, begin to see that it is not going to destroy your enemies. It is not going to be a power over evil powers. It is going to be a revelation. God's kingdom established on earth, not by overcoming, but by revealing the unreal nature of the enemy, the carnal mind, revealing the non-power of the impersonal evil. Once we stop personalizing the evil, naming the tyrants and their ideologies, once we throw it all into one great big enemy called carnal mind, mortal mind if you like it, and then realize whence came the carnal mind. If from God, its only power is good. If not from God, it has no power. And in your own losing of fear, you will be demonstrating God's kingdom on earth. God's kingdom is not an army or a navy. God's kingdom is not a Messiah who is a great king. God's kingdom is gentle, peaceful, spirit. God's kingdom is made up of love. God's kingdom is endowed with spiritual power that maintains and sustains the harmony of God's kingdom through His grace. There is a spirit in man. It becomes necessary that we abide in stillness, in quietness, in confidence, that spiritual power may have outlet through us and be the act of grace that reveals harmony where a very materialistic world seems to be. Really, it is not a materialistic universe. Really, there is no materialistic universe. There is only a material or materialistic sense of a spiritual universe. This universe is spiritual, but it can only be experienced through spiritual discernment. This is what the Master meant when he said, "I have overcome the world." He did not mean that he had overcome Caesar or that he had overcome the Sanhedrin or persecution or hate or Antichrist. He meant he had overcome within himself the materialistic sense of the world. He was no longer living by might or by power, but by the Spirit. Just as later, Paul was enabled to say, "I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life." This is spiritual power, the Christ living our life, or the Christ being the only power in our life. When the Christ is the source of our good, we are spiritually endowed. We receive bread, meat, wine, and water spiritually. This is why meditation alone is the way to experience spiritual presence and spiritual power. Because it is in meditation that you learn to let physical powers and mental powers be at rest. physical desires or mental desires be at rest. And then, when there is an absence of self, any self that wants something, desires something, or even hopes to be something, when that is absent, spiritual power is revealed. The spiritual power is always within you. But as long as the word I is there, in its human sense, spiritual power cannot come to light. Because personal sense is the greatest barrier to the experience of spiritual power. And the reason is that spiritual power can't do something for me or for you. It can only be and do. And those who are still and receptive and listening for the word of God, they receive this spiritual power that does all of the things on earth that Jesus said he came to earth to do, when he said that he came to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father was to heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel, forgive the sinners. And yet he said he couldn't do that. It is the spiritual power within me that does it. But only when a personal sense of I is absent. And please remember that that is why very often this spiritual power doesn't come to the very people who want to do good in the world. Because that very desire to do good in the world is a desire to glorify the personal selfhood. It is a wonderful thing when you sit down to meditate to be able to remember quickly that divine grace or spiritual power is not brought about by physical or mental means, because then it enables you to be still at once and wait for the spiritual endowment to take place. I am endowed from on high, the Master says. Not from any effort of my own, but from on high. I am only the receptivity and the instrumentality, the transparency. I am endowed from on high. Wait in this city before you go out to preach. This is the Master giving final instructions to the disciples. Wait ye in this city, in this consciousness, until ye are endowed from on high. Thank you and good evening.